Hey, everybody, welcome to LettermanRow.com. I am Jeremy Birmingham. This is Talking Stuff. This episode, my cohorts and I will be talking about Quinn Ewers, of course. We'll be talking about Ohio State's ventures at tight end, the decommitment of Jaheim Singletary, and we'll take some of your questions. So that's what me and the guys will be talking stuff about today. Let's get to the show. Okay, hello. Spencer Holbrook and Zach Carpenter.
Oh, hey, guys.
Zach is making his first appearance on Talking Stuff. He will be a regular on the show in the future. Most of the time, it'll be me and Zach. And then Spencer will chime in every once in a while as we transition Zach into his role.
Berm is kicking me off the island.
Yeah. Well, it's not that we're moving on from you. It's that we're moving on from you.
To bigger and better places. Got the.
I don't think bigger is the right word.
But, all right, better. We'll go with better. We're getting there though. Well,
shorter and better places.
So
you're like 5'8". You can't even give me crap for
true.
That.
I mean, you guys. If you guys like did the whole like back to back thing.
I'm 5'7" with shoes on. If you count to the very tip of my.
The hair.
Which I just got cut because I wanted to look good for you
Speaking
guys.
Speaking of hair, Berm.
Hair. What about
Quinn Ewers and his majestic mullet?
I'm actually now having some regrets about moving on from you, Spencer, with segues like that.
Speaking
that
of hair, Quinn
but Ewers. When you do the segue like that, then it ruins the segue.
Yeah,
you can't say it's a perfect segue.
That's true. But I don't want to talk about Quinn Ewers yet. I know people are like already watching this going, what in the hell is going on? But I wanted to give an opportunity for people to get to know Zach a little bit. If you don't, Zach comes to Letterman Row. He worked at 11 Warriors for a while. He actually started with our site in May. May 1st, right?
May 3rd. May 3rd was the official.
And has been working behind the scenes, getting some big feature stories ready. And that's really going to be your role in the future. Not necessarily the day-to-day minutiae of recruiting, but the bigger stories, the feature stories about the kids once they've committed and getting to know them so people get a little more insight. So what has been, Zach, for you in these last few months, the favorite thing you've been working on?
There is one that there's a few of them that have been coming out, but or that are going to be coming out over the next couple weeks. But one of my I guess favorite one would be the story I did on Mike Hall that's coming Wednesday. And it was perfectly timed because I went up and talked to him in June. And then shortly after that, like 2-3 days after talking to him was when the NIL stuff came out, like that college students or college athletes are going to be able to start making money off their name, image, and likeness. And it's Mike has such an intriguing situation because he's up in this small town, Streetsboro, where he's like, his mom called him the LeBron James of Streetsboro, which was like perfect. Yeah. So I'm like, all right. Then we started talking about just NIL deals that he can do. And I mean, when the NIL stuff came out, like when that started becoming official, I think everyone just thinks like the Quinn Ewers stuff or the Bryce Young stuff, like the million dollar endorsement deals and TV commercials that they're going to be able to star in now, but with him, he comes from that small town. He's able to corner that market. And it's a small market, but for kids like him who come from smaller places like that, it's really interesting that he can be the spokesman for this meat shop that we went to that it's called Buckeye Quality Meats. And he's
not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor, but we'll get there. Maybe shout out. And he's going to be able to be like the official, Buckeyes, whatever the official steak of
like they're gonna make a sandwich, they're gonna make a burger after him.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Something
meat
like
guy.
That.
Big meat guy.
Yeah, he'll be the meat guy.
Big Mike Hall, big meat guy. You know, I think it's just interesting. Obviously, we're embarking on a whole new world of college football, and we're embarking on a whole new world at Letterman Row as we're now officially a part of the On3 Sports Network, which was announced on Friday. That's not gonna change a lot of what we do, and I know people have questions about that, and you know, to be honest, we're still learning what it means for us in a lot of ways. So bear with us as we transition into that, you know, network, and the website will look a little bit different in the coming days. And there will be a message board and an opportunity to really be more engaged with myself and Zach and Spencer as we, you know, head into that. But I'm a little upset we don't have the message board like today, because obviously the Quinn Ewers news that Spencer and I talked about last week is now official. Quinn will be heading to Ohio State. The Buckeyes 2022 recruiting class drops to like number 4 in the country after that news, combined with the loss of Jaheim Singletary, which of course we'll talk about on the show. But
luckily they're still not number 1 in the 21 class. Yeah. They're still trailing Alabama.
I'm telling you, there's certainly some people down the road here at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, as we are talking stuff presented by Byers Auto, like they're sitting there going, oh, okay, well, let's look for the silver lining. You know, they're like, okay, well, does this happen? like when they find out that Quinn's coming, like I had received a question from a staff member at Ohio State who asked, like, that was the first question was, if Quinn comes, do we beat Alabama? And the answer, sadly, is no.
0.001 point behind.
Sadly, so the answer is still no. Alabama still wins the 21 recruiting championship. But for you guys and myself, now this becomes about what the hell does Ohio State do at quarterback in 2022?
Can we just very quickly, I don't want to take too much time on this, I just want to marvel at Alabama's class. For Ohio State to put 2 5-star quarterbacks in it, a 5-star running back, a 5-star offensive lineman, 2 5-star defensive ends, and finish second is just absurd.
Well, so five more players.
Obviously, yeah. that makes a huge difference. And if, you know, one thing breaks this way or one thing breaks another, you know, if J.C. Latham gets to visit in last April and comes to Ohio State, he's in the class and Ohio State wins the crown. It's just crazy the way that they put that class together, and it's crazy the two classes both of them have. Like, if you don't see them in national championship games in the next 3 years,
yeah, I think they're the something's two, like, gone they're wrong. The top three ranked classes in history, I think, is if I'm thinking about it correctly. I know that Florida back in 2009 or 10 had like a 320.
It's like Murderer's Row.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly indicative of why these are the best programs in the country and why these schools have the opportunity to pretty much at any point in the recruiting process pick up the phone and say, hello, Johnny, do you want to come to my school? Because we're way better than everyone else. And 99% of the kids in the country are going to go, I sure do. Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Yeah. But it comes back to all other programs are recruiting, Alabama or Ohio State are choosing, essentially.
Yeah, and what you find here, though, now Ohio State has to choose a new quarterback in the class of 2022, because I really don't think that they can skip it. Knowing what we know about today's college football and the opportunity for kids to move on, it's almost goes without saying that at least one, maybe two of the current quarterbacks on the roster are going to transfer after the season. Like, that is a real predicament for Ryan Day, because the way you had this spaced out, the way you had this planned, changes considerably. And so I think the first question everyone's going to have is, do the Buckeyes try to go after Drew Aller and steal him back from Penn State?
I don't think that's possible.
Long story short, I think they absolutely try. I don't believe that it will be successful. I think that at this point, Aller is pretty invested into that Penn State class, and he's helped build it. Like, and now they're the number one ranked class in the country with 24 commitments. Ohio State has 14, so it's not like there's a apples-to-apples comparison, but I mean, that's hard, man. That's a year worth of a relationship that he's committed into that program.
And at this time last year, you could have said, okay, Drew Aller is a real shot to get into the Ohio State class and become a developmental quarterback. He's proved time and time again, he is not an in-state Ohio quarterback that's a 3-star guy who's going to come in, stay for 4 years, and work hard. He is a superstar on the recruiting circuit. He was incredible at the Elite 11. I think you guys can both talk about that. He looked really great from everything I saw from 2,000 miles away. He's continued to rise up the recruiting rankings, and he's not just another one of these quarterbacks that Ohio State could pluck from in-state and develop for a four-year project. He's the kind of guy that's going to step into Penn State and compete for a job right away, because there's not a lot of quarterback stability there. So he's not the kind of player that Ohio State can any longer just call. They have to find somebody now that's not him, because I don't think it's possible for them to get him.
But they're going to try, and he's from Ohio.
Yeah, and you guys have touched on this before, and you just touched on it a second ago. I mean, quarterback is one of the first two or three commits in the class. He's been in that class, invested with them for so long, built up those relationships. They're the number one class in the country. Yeah. So I don't think that Drew Aller would be – I don't think he's a good candidate to leave what he's built there and the future that he's helped Penn State create.
Yeah, I think that they're still going to try. So let me just start there. I think that Ohio State would be silly not to at least make that phone call. Because, as I talked about on Letterman Live, like, I think the top 30 quarterbacks in the country are all committed. Like, that becomes a real uphill battle to find one that fits what you're looking for at Ohio State, but not just to find one that fits what you're looking for from a player perspective or a personality perspective, but also to find a kid that looks at the Ohio State quarterback room and goes, yeah, okay, I'll go sit behind that. Because you know whether or not it's C.J. Stroud or Kyle McCord or Quinn Ewers or Jack Miller, like, you are going to have a 2-year wait to play. So that 22 quarterback's going to have to sit and wait for a bit. So, you know, it's going to take a very special person to want that. So I think the likelihood is that they don't. I think that I would defer to the transfer portal for a 1-year rental after this season and then go hardcore now at someone in 23, where that was a class where Ohio State initially, I think, was willing to take a sort of deferment and just kind of see what happens. But now you got to go out and find a really damn good one in 23.
And I remember we were talking about that when we went to some of these showcases of Cameron Swiger. Seems like just a guy like that, that's just one name, but that was like the perfect candidate to be Ohio State's quarterback in 23. And now the plan just completely shifts.
The dynamic completely changes.
And everybody's going to talk about Arch Manning. I mean, that's going to be the focus from now on. And it was kind of nice for us because with Quinn in 22, you didn't really have to worry about Ohio State having a chance at Arch Manning in 23. Personally, I think Arch Manning is destined to play in the SEC. But Ohio State's going to, I would imagine, you can attest this.
Certainly you reach out.
Going to take a swing.
You certainly now take a swing where you maybe weren't before. But I think this is just the timing of this decision by Ewers. Again, and I'm totally on board with Quinn and his family doing whatever they think that they need to do. But Ohio State just completed 6 months or 6 weeks of recruiting, and we're doing it in a very, I don't want to say lackadaisical way at quarterback for 23, but certainly not as purposeful a way. It was a fact finding mission. It wasn't a, okay, this is our guy, we got to go get him. And so now maybe you look at Nico Iamaleva out there in California. I think he's my favorite in that class. But then you have Dante Moore in Detroit, who has Cleveland roots, and maybe you can, you know, really kind of bridge that gap a little bit. The Buckeyes weren't recruiting any of these kids super aggressively, but now you have to.
And then you see North Carolina just landed its quarterback for the class of 2023.
Right. Tad Hudson, another one that Ohio State had on campus, and he camped at Ohio State, teammate of Evan Pryor's.
And some of these guys, the dominoes of quarterback recruiting fall earlier than any. And so you've really got to make a push now because they were a little lackadaisical when it comes to recruiting quarterbacks in the summer.
Well, they had time, and so now you don't.
And you don't have any time, and these guys, as they start to get through their junior seasons, are going to start to want to commit. And Ohio State's not been in a lot of those conversations because they had the can't-miss home run prospect in 22. Guess what? Now he's in 21. And so if you wanted to go every other year, now 23 is up. And those guys are going to start wanting to make decisions. Ohio State's got a little bit of a, I wouldn't call it an issue, but I would call it a pressing maybe concern for Ohio State right now in the 23 class.
And real quick, before we get off of him, you just mentioned Dante Moore right there, and like I've loved that.
Yeah.
I've loved him as a quarterback prospect since really getting to know
freshman
him. Getting,
year, yeah.
Yeah, and he's basically in the backyard, even though you said the Cleveland roots, and I know Braxton Miller was like a massive reason that he even that was his favorite player in college, and that's the reason that Ohio State's such a top school for him, but he also has the Michigan and Notre Dame ties that are really strong there. So I just wanted to mention him though, as one who he seems like a perfect candidate for that 23 class.
Yeah. And now things get murky and you almost wonder Jaden Davis, who I love. I mean, I've made no bones about it. I think he's one of the better quarterback prospects I've ever seen camp at Ohio State.
He was very good.
And he's a kid who 2 years ago reclassified and pushed himself back a year. So he went back to being a 24. And now you wonder, like, maybe Ryan Day gets on the phone and like, hey, buddy, you thinking about moving that back up? Or, you know, I mean, there's just going to be so many crazy things that happen at that position because the dominoes really haven't even been set up yet. So we don't even know how they're going to fall because you don't know who the starters are going to be. You don't know who the backup's going to be. You don't know any of this stuff. And for Ohio State, it's the greatest problem in the world to have. But it's also still a problem to have. And it's one of these things where you just look at it from an outside perspective and go, okay, well, good luck managing managing that situation. And it's not a bad problem, obviously. You'd rather have way too many good players than not good enough players, but still gets interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And if some of these guys, not all four of them are going to be on the roster. I mean, we were trying to give all three of these guys the benefit of the doubt and kind of beat around that bush for a long time. I think it's safe to say now there's no more pushing it off. All four of those guys will not be on the roster for very long.
For next spring, yeah. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
So,
any other thoughts on the QB?
I do love that. You have to preface it by saying it's a good problem to have because I think every single program in the country, if someone complains about if an Ohio State fan complains about the quarterback situation and managing these guys, it's like, all right, well, yeah, but yeah. Come on.
But we're on a podcast, and I think that in doing so, there's this tendency for hyperbole a little bit, and we want to be like, this is a terrible problem, but it's not a terrible problem. It's obvious, but that doesn't mean it's not a potential problem. Mm-hmm. It's a landmine-riddled field.
Absolutely. Clemson's backup quarterback right now is a walk-on because their backup on scholarship tore his Achilles. Alabama's backup quarterback right now.
Achilles or Achilles?
Achilles.
Achilles. Achilles.
Achilles.
I don't know. I'm not Greek.
San Diegans. San Diego Uns.
But if you look at Alabama's quarterback situation right now, it'd be difficult for you to name the backup for Bryce Young.
The game has changed a lot. I mean, it is a major change from the way it was even 5 years ago, where you could expect to have three or four quarterbacks on your roster. At this point, programs like Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, et cetera, they're recruiting to have two guys because they know people are going to leave. So, there's a lot to figure out.
And I do wonder if Ryan Day's philosophy on he's always won four scholarship quarterbacks.
Yep.
I wonder if that philosophy might have to change here with the way the transfer portal and the climate we're in.
Be careful what you wish for. Yeah, he wanted four scholarship quarterbacks. He's got four scholarship quarterbacks.
He said at Big Ten Media Days that he's afraid that you're going to wake up in 5 years and not recognize the game of college football. But like, he could probably be more afraid that he's going to wake up next week and not know who the hell his quarterbacks are. because everyone's just whoop, 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 in and out. So speaking of in and out, we'll be right back after this message from a sponsor. We are back talking stuff brought to you by Byers Automotive. Spencer Holbrook, Zach Carpenter making his debut on the show.
Debut.
Achilles. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. We're talking stuff about Ohio State football recruiting. And, you know, it's been actually a really weird week for the Buckeyes. They lost two commitments in the last week, losing Benji Gosnell. And then you lose Jaheim Singletary. And now Quinn Ewers reclassifies. And I think that the big thing that for people here is going to be Jaheim Singletary when you start to look at the 22 class. The Quinn Ewers recruitment is dead. We can put it to bed. We never have to talk about Quinn Ewers recruitment ever again.
Yeah, I was going to say, no decommitment, no flips. Yeah. It's happening. And,
hey,
it's happening.
No Texas message board banter anymore.
Yeah, oh, darn it.
As far as we know, maybe.
I never know.
Who knows?
But here's the deal. Jaheim Singletary decommitted on Sunday from Ohio State. Spencer, when he committed to the Buckeyes, we were in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl against Clemson. And we were talking about then, like, it was so out of the blue. And you just kind of knew that this was not going to be the end of that story. Like, there was going to be some travels made. And that was really under the radar over these last couple weeks. But Jaheim talked about the fact that he had visited Miami a couple times. He went to Georgia. And I don't want to dive too far down this rabbit hole because I don't, it's not worth it. But so many times I talk about fit and whether or not a player is a personality fit for Ohio State. And it's not always about talent. Jaheim Singletary is, in my opinion, the best cornerback in the country. I think that he is the ideal cornerback prospect. If you build one in a lab, it would look like Jaheim Singletary. But he talked to Chad Simmons from On3 Sports about his decision. And Spencer, read what that says, because I think it actually shows a lot of maturity for a kid that I think has handled the last 6 weeks immaturely, and if that makes sense. But I don't want to badmouth him for it, because I get everyone's different. Everyone handles their stuff differently. But I think that the reasoning that he gave for the decommitment is as honest as you can possibly get, and I'm glad that he was able to recognize it, because I'll stop talking. Read it, please.
It says Singletary had never been to Ohio, so the visit was going to tell him a lot about his feelings toward Ohio State. The quote from Jaheim Singletary is, "I love the coaches at Ohio State, and it is a great school with great players, but the feeling there was just different. That is why visits are so important. The vibe at Ohio State just didn't match me. I had that feeling in my gut before I left for the trip. I'm not sure what it was, but I just didn't have the feeling I needed to have on that visit before I left Columbus that I knew I was going to reopen my recruitment."
And for a kid who doesn't talk to the media a lot, it's a very mature, well thought out reasoning behind a decommitment. And I'm wondering, you guys have been talking about this. We've all been talking about this since he committed. Like, it's not going to be over until he actually signs. So, I mean, is this one of, maybe it's not the least surprising decommitment, but is it one of them that you've covered here?
I would say so. I mean, yeah. I mean, you just the only other one, even in recent years, I was like, "There's no way this is going to stick." Is Tumiche Adeleye, I don't know, but like I knew that was like a day away from being over at any point. You know what I mean? Like that was just never going to stick. And with Jaheim, like what he's talking about there is the vibe in the building, right? And it's not. He's not saying it's a bad vibe in the building. It's just, it's not who he is. And Miami, Georgia, these places have a slightly different personality than Ohio State, where you are expected to behave like a professional all the time. And I don't know that that's something that every kid wants. And
it comes back to that type A personality right. That we always talk about.
Yeah.
And it's funny because every quote I've ever seen about the visit to Ohio State was just different. It was in a positive way. And this time you read that, it's like, okay, well, he had something that I guess was just off. And that's another reason why the dead period finally being over was
I think what beneficial. What this tells me is you have to be different to play at Ohio State. And that's very, on its face, easy to understand. You have to be a 5-star caliber, all-world type of college football player to play at Ohio State. You also have to be a certain personality. Like you just said, the personality matches more with Georgia, Miami, Alabama than it does Ohio State, and that is fine. There are two different types of program, though. There's Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, and the have-nots, and then there's Alabama, Georgia, Miami, Florida, probably Florida State now.
I mean, they're just different. There's a lot of places that it's going to give you a different vibe. Everywhere's different, and that's the whole thing is that the relationship that Jaheim Singletary had with Tony Alford was the reason that he was interested in Ohio State. Over the last handful of months, the relationship that he has with T-Rob down in Miami, Travaris Robinson?
I think so.
Not sure. I probably shouldn't research that before we talk about it. But I only ever hear
him. We don't ever do research.
I only ever hear him referenced to as T-Rob, the defensive backs coach at Miami, is from Jacksonville. Like they've had a bond for a long time. And the relationships are always going to matter. Kerry Combs fought tooth and nail for Ohio State to stay in that mix. You know, I said in the decommitment story on Sunday that the Buckeyes are going to keep swinging there, but I don't think that they need to. I don't think that there's really any value to do that. Right now, I think actually for Ohio State's purposes, the value is to maybe stick with 3 cornerbacks in this class. When the plan has been to take 4, but heading into camp now, you have an opportunity to see what the young cornerbacks, the legend Cavazos, the Ryan Watts, the new guys, Jakalen Johnson, Jordan Hancock, et cetera, figure out what they can do. And then if you decide you need a 4th at some point in late October, November, then you go back out and look. But I don't think that the Buckeyes are going to chase another one.
So Ohio State always knows what it's doing with its roster way better than I do, way better than you do, and way better than you do. I know that's kind of
you
crazy,
don't know that.
Kind of crazy of a concept.
You have
but
no idea what Zach knows.
To me,
bring a lot to the table over here.
To me, like I just never understood the need for 4 cornerbacks. You recruited really well at defensive back in 2020. You recruited really well at defensive back in 2021. And you look at the roster, Jordan Hancock and Jakalen Johnson are going to be stars, we think. Legend Cavazos has a chance to be really good. Ryan Watts is already going to be a potential breakout star this year. If you bring 4 more guys into that mix in the future, there's going to be a logjam at some point. And so to just take 3 cornerbacks, I think the Ohio State is set at corner. Now you go out and you get your 2 safeties that you need, and you're set at defensive back, and then you go and reevaluate what you need for the 23 class. But for this 2022 class, I just never saw the need for the 4th cornerback. It was great that it was a 5-star in Jaheim Singletary, but yeah. If it was a borderline 3-4-star guy that they really liked, I'm not sure if they would have even had 4 to start with.
Yeah, there's 2 points here also that I think are worth discussing. Number one, maybe you were looking at a 4th cornerback all along because you kind of felt like one of these guys is going to decommit, right? Like it was sort of always assumed that it's going to be a challenge to hold on to all of them. I think a lot of people, for whatever reason, believed to be J.R. Brown decommitting because he talked about taking visits earlier, you know, in the spring and summer. But he seems locked in with Ohio State. Jaheim Singletary was always one that just it was, you know. And then you have Terrence Brooks, who is a 5-star cornerback with On3 Sports rankings, and a, you know, a player who's actually ranked ahead of Jaheim Singletary in our network's ranking. So, but that one's going to be a challenge to hold on to as well. I mean, this is a kid who's only been to Ohio State 1 time. He got offered 7 days later. He was on campus 7 days later. He committed. So, like, now you got to make sure, real sure, that that one doesn't get away from you. Because, again, like everywhere, like the quarterback position, it's not like there's just a bevy of cornerbacks laying around. You can just go, oh, like that one, and that, like these kids are all committed.
With Jaheim now decommitting, though, don't you think it's a little easier for them? Would it be easier then, in theory, to hold on to Terrence Brooks because now you can sell them on the idea you're the
but
guy?
I totally agree, but it's also easier now to go finish that conversation with AJ Harris in the class of 2023, where you have your top clear top target in that class is AJ Harris, and one of the things that was sort of a snag and a snafu that they were trying to navigate.
Sure.
One thing they were trying to navigate was the fact
I'm writing that one down. I'm putting that in the notebook. Writing suggestions.
You know, it was like, hey, well, Ohio State has four corners in this class. How many are they just took three last year? How many more do they need? Well, so now it makes it a little easier to have that conversation.
I agree, and you've got to everything. Sets itself up, really. You got to have a pitch for the guys in 2022. The pitch for Terrence Brooks becomes a little bit easier now. I think the pitch for AJ Harris becomes a little bit easier now. You are, when you step on campus, you are, you know, going to be the guy.
There's always dominoes.
And this is just another domino that falls. And the thing about it is,
pizza the worst pizza?
I hate Papa John's more than Domino's. You are a Domino's, Papa John's guy.
I'm not a Papa John's guy. Well, I want to be very clear.
If you're picking out
if
the worst.
If I had to choose between Papa John's or Domino's, I'm picking Papa John's. 100 times out of 100.
Well, Domino's is based in Ann Arbor, Michigan, so it tells you everything you need to know.
Did you just make that up?
No,
is that really?
It's a real thing.
Okay, regardless of where it's based, okay, the problem is that their crust tastes like cardboard. If I wanted to eat cardboard, I would eat the box the pizza came in and not the pizza.
And I think Papa John's tastes like, it tastes like a foot. It tastes terrible.
A foot.
Wait a second.
How many feet? I'm not going to ask.
No, I mean,
I don't think this is.
This is the.
Go on.
Zach told me. So here, a little backstory. Zach told me earlier this morning we were show prepping. Zach said, "I want to ask
you guys show prep."
He told me he was nervous.
Do we?
He told me he was nervous.
That's cool.
But he told me that he wanted us to each answer a random question at the end of the episode. And I feel like it's the end of the episode, and then he just said something.
Wait,
how many feet have you tasted?
All right, going back to college or my entire career?
Well, I think we need to cut it out.
So anyhow, Papa John's is way better than Domino's.
Okay, so
regardless, Marco's is still the best national pizza chain as far as like the big box pizza chains, you know? Marco's is by far the best.
No, so, I've still never had Marco's.
I'm going to get us back on track because I think this is an interesting thing to talk about. We got a tweet about it. I can't remember who it was, but thanks for responding to Berm's
question.
Should
we wait? Are we ready to talk questions?
Well, I mean, it ties right into what we're doing.
Well, okay, well, I still wanted to talk about the loss of Benji Gosnell a little bit because we didn't really dive into
that last
week.
This has to do with this as well.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Sweet. It's time for questions.
So,
brought to you by Byers Auto.
Everything's brought to you by Byers Auto and Roosters, of course.
Well, except for the show.
Yeah.
It's all Byers Auto.
It's all Byers Auto all the time. Benji Gosnell decommits.
Uh-huh.
Jaheim Singletary decommits.
Uh-huh.
Quinn Ewers reclassifies to 2021.
Uh-huh.
Ohio State had about as much momentum as you could possibly have in a recruiting class for 2022.
Uh-huh.
Is that momentum just...
I mean that
the number one class in the country with the all-world quarterback
prospect.
But
did they have momentum? I mean, they've added, what, two commitments in the last 6 weeks. Penn State added like 18. So they haven't had a huge run of momentum, but it's also because it's on purpose. They're recruiting really, really good players that have options. And it's not the same. And Addison Nichols is another one who just came off the board. He committed to Tennessee on Monday. So like you have options when you're recruiting the best players in the country. These are kids who aren't going to just no offense to anyone committed to Penn State. It's obviously a very good class and it's getting better. They're going to be you see it already on Sunday or Saturday. They've swapped out a couple commitments, like lost a couple, the decommitted, like those kids aren't decommitting of their own volition. Like those are we've got some momentum and we think we can do better than you types of decommitments. And so that happens regularly, unfortunately, in the business. But I don't know that they had a ton of momentum. I mean, they had a great class, and it's been the number one class in the country for a long time. But they took a calculated risk on having all these kids come in on June 4th. And so I think some of the stuff, is like now you build, right? You got all the offensive linemen, the Ernest Green, the Cam Dewberry situation where those kids are going to wait, and they got really good options. Zion Branch, Xavier Wampa are going to wait, and they got really good options. No matter how big Ohio State's brand is, the kids right now have all of the power in recruiting. So if you're one of those top 100 kids or the kids that are choosing between Ohio State, Alabama, Texas, Clemson, Georgia, like you have all the power. Ohio State isn't going to be able to stand up and say, okay, you either need to commit right now or hit the road, because they want those kids to commit. So the kids aren't.
Yeah, and I guess that goes back to tight end. You know, Ohio State was set on tight end in 22, but also, you know, brought a lot of guys in at tight end, in whether it was 22 or 23. They saw a lot of guys that can play tight end. I mean, it's interesting. Do you go after a tight end now and maybe, you know, try to get some movement going on the 22 class? Yeah. With
Zach
tight
and I
end.
Were talking about this the other day. Like, yeah, because this is now the third straight cycle where the plan is two tight ends.
And that was like the first thing I talked about when I first got on the beat, is two tight ends in 20, then 21, then finally get it in 2022, and now looks like they might be pushing that back to 2023.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you just, again, the roster changes. Now, the need for a second tight end in this class is alleviated by G. Scott moving and playing tight end. So now you have some options. You have ways around it. You have other tight ends that you can recruit, but as you know, there's a lot of them, again, already committed elsewhere. A lot of them are going to look at Ohio State's roster and go, okay, well, they have Sam Hart, they have Joe Royer, they have Cade Stover, they have G. Scott, they have Bennett Christian coming in. Why do they need another one? There's options. And just the world of college football is reclassifying. Everything is changing. So you just don't know what's going to happen over the next couple months. And I think that unless there's a like really, really high level tight end prospect that wants in this class of 2022, I think Ohio State stands pat. And I don't even think that Benji Cosnell knows if he's a tight end. I mean, he went to Clemson and he's been recruited by Clemson as a linebacker. So he went and visited Clemson the next day as a linebacker. So where's he going? So if you have a kid committed to your class at a certain position and that kid isn't sure he wants to play that position, no offense to Cosnell, because he's a great kid every time I've talked to him. Maybe your class might be better off as opposed to having a kid who doesn't know what position he wants to play.
Right. It would be the inverse of the Cade Stover going from being converted from tight end to linebacker potentially down the road if he did wind up coming to Ohio State. What's interesting to me is I know 12 personnel has been such a, like we talk tight ends. I know it's not the most exciting, glamorous position to talk about in recruiting or on the field, but I mean, Ryan Day's clearly shown a philosophy where he wants to use that 12 personnel. It's gone up from, I think, like 2% in 2017 to like over 30% last year. So I'm curious to see if that changes this year going forward, or how, if Cade and G, if they get the necessary development and snaps this year, if we're going to have to, if they are going to need to take two tight ends in 2023. Like, are we going to be talking about this again in 2016, the 24
class? In 2016, Ohio State took three tight ends. It was Luke Farrell, Jake Hausman, and Kier Hawkins. And Hawkins never played. The other two, you know, the thing that they have now is they have five tight ends that all do very different things. So there's Ruckert, who's a fairly complete player, and then you have other guys. Cade Silver does one thing really well. G. Scott does one thing really well. Joe Royer does one thing really well. And you're just hoping to find someone that can do all of it, because that's what Luke Farrell did. But we're talking about the roster too much and not about the recruits. And everyone loves recruits.
But in maybe at no other position more so, the tight end is about the roster, because you look at what's in front of them, and then they want two tight ends. And it's another one where, you know, Ohio State knows the roster better than I do, but why? Why do you want?
Why do they know the roster better than you?
Why do you want two tight ends in the 22 class when you've got these guys? Maybe it's because you're not sure about a couple of them because they've moved positions, or you're not sure about their development track. But also, if you need a second tight end, I mean, the transfer portal's there. You can find a proven guy, 1 year stopgap, then you go to the 23 and look for maybe a second tight end. There's options here, and so I don't think we need to get too hung up on tight ends very much, just because they have one. They've got multiple tight ends on the roster. They're going to run these two tight end sets and become more known for their tight ends. And so I think it's all going to work itself out, but that's just me.
And I know we kind of spin zone the Jaheim Singletary decommitment into how it can kind of, it can lead to AJ Harrison. Like, you get to focus on your top guys there more and kind of sell them on that. And I know you guys have talked a lot in the past about how they need five defensive linemen. They need at least two more defensive backs in the 2022 cycle. So Benji decommitting kind of opens that up, the door for bringing in another.
It makes it easier. You got five defensive linemen they need in this class. And so where do those come from? And again, like you're talking about recruiting momentum, you're talking about players like Chris McClellan, like Omari Abor, Eni White. All these guys have a ton of options. You're going to see a defensive line shift here in the next couple of weeks. I think Kenneth Grant is going to make his decision in the next week or two, and I think that that's one that could go Ohio State's way. But it's not one that people are going to look at and go, oh, yes, we got Kenneth Grant. But, you know, it's who Larry Johnson wants, and so you have to look at it and say, oh, well, 6'5", 350-pound defensive lineman who runs a 5-flat, like, oh, maybe there's a reason he wants
impressive athlete. Very
you
know? Impressive
so
athlete.
You just we just keep figuring this out, and the class has obviously changed a lot. I mean, we were talking about it before we came on the show, like, there are 14 commitments in that class now, and it was at like 18.
17 or 18.
You know, and now it's just, at 14.
Just looks completely different. It's a completely new field to the class now, just in the past 2 or 3 days with everything that's happened.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting how Ryan Day handles that in the next couple of weeks as they head into the season, because traditionally Ryan Day's approach has been the season is for football, not recruiting. And so you're going to need to do some recruiting now. And all of the top targets on the defensive line, both of the top targets that you have left at safety, both of the targets you've had really focused on the offensive line have visited. Ernest Green has not taken his official visit yet. He'll do that on September 11th. But the game is changing. And so Ryan Day is going to have to make some adjustments to how he approaches the next 7 or 8 guys in the class of 2022. I wanted to look and see what are the questions we got from people today, because I did say that we were going to take some questions, right?
I think you did.
We only got 6 of them in the tweets because
everyone's
worrying about other stuff like Quinn Ewers, who we're never talking about again on Talking Stuff. Brought to you by
Promise
Auto. No,
not even in 22 quarterback recruiting.
Okay, let me see. Will Quinn Ewers start
this
year?
This is good. Yeah, this is great podcast.
I don't think Quinn Ewers will start this year.
I do not think Quinn Ewers will start this year.
Somebody asked if we're playing in or out today, so I guess we can. Let's just wrap up with a game of in and out because that's always fun. So Spencer, Zach.
I'm just going to do the opposite of whatever you say.
Oh, I love it.
So I guess.
Okay, well, I'll ask you guys because you guys talk to these guys. You guys know more about them than I do. So let's.
What do you know? You don't know anything about the Ohio State roster. You don't know anything about these guys.
22 or 23.
He's here to be a buffer.
Don't know how to say Achilles.
22 or 23.
Oh, man. I've never really had to choose between the numbers before.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go with.
Let's go with 22.
I like 22 better because I think that. Like, it's cool when numbers are the same back to back.
Well, I was 22. I wore 22 in high school.
Okay, I'm
going to
go
22.
He peaked. Okay, Chris McClellan.
In.
Kenneth Grant.
In.
Wow, in. Okay, that's kind of surprising to me. Kenyatta Jackson.
Out.
Eni White.
In. Out.
Oh. Why?
I don't. That's a gut feeling, honestly. I don't think
that it's ever a great idea to put too much stock into what a kid says on Twitter. But when Eni White tweeted during his Ohio State official visit about relationships over money, I'm not saying like other schools are offering him money. I'm saying that he realized that right now the best way to get long-term money is to play defensive end for Larry Johnson. And so that's why I'm saying.
So his philosophy, if his philosophy hadn't changed, because I know he's been pitched by, I think, every school to be an outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. And
yeah, I've only talked to him a very little amount. Yeah. He doesn't open up a lot. But, like, I just think that something happened in his mind when he got a chance to sit down and watch film with Larry Johnson and see what Larry Johnson's about, that he realized that there's a short-term play in life and there's a long-term play in life. And with name, image, and likeness – and the opportunity to be closer to home, you have an opportunity to take some advantage on the short term, but the real generational life-changing money happens when you get drafted in the top 3 and Larry Johnson makes defensive ends into that.
Okay. Cam Dewberry.
In.
In.
Ernest Green.
In.
Okay. Is there anyone else that you feel like I should ask you about?
Out.
Xavier Wampa.
In.
And Zion Branch.
Out.
Wow. There you have it.
It's a long time. All right.
It's changing. And again, I don't know that, as I wrote about last week and when we were doing the new moving targets version of talking stuff that we talked about, I reserved the right to change that prediction based on how many games USC loses in September.
Right.
Because I just think that it's clear that kid has an affinity for the Trojans program. I think ideal world wouldn't even be having doubts about going somewhere else. But I think that there has to be a moment for a really smart kid and a really smart family to understand that this is a business decision, not a what team you grew up wearing on your back.
Okay. I think that makes sense. So when USC loses to Fresno in September.
Wow.
I mean, San Jose State.
You heard it here first.
Even worse.
Then
at Spencer Holbrook is his Twitter handle, Trojans fans.
All right. Sounds good.
I got nothing else. You got anything else, Zach? How'd your first show go?
I thought I killed it. I thought it was just fantastic.
What were you nervous about?
I don't know. You're just a very intimidating presence. True. I'm sorry. You know,
I don't know.
The shadow lurks over.
What about you, Spence? How do you think you did?
That's all right. Got a little good show.
Okay, so I'm just very excited to be here and be Berm's minion for the next however long.
Let me ask you this, because Spencer said you wanted us to answer a rando question. So what's the random question? Maybe this should be the perfect ending to every show. We could actually write a theme.
That's what I said.
We do need to wrap it up. Ending. We do need to wrap it up though.
If we were gonna do so, Ty Lockwood, he did his Final Four, and in his Final Four video, he had the instrumental to New Level by Future and ASAP Ferg. And I texted him and I said, that's the coolest thing that's the coolest song I've ever seen.
Never heard that song, but it sounds great.
In the thing. So I asked him, or I told him that was my last set song, and I was trying to get that instrumental as our theme song, which will never happen, but this is me trying to pitch that.
This is me. Anyway. Ryan. That's a Taylor Swift song.
Going in. All right. Your last set song at the gym. Which one is it? Are you picking Taylor Swift?
What do you mean?
As a gym,
like my last
the song that gets that really
Zach
needs to get you juiced.
Bring it back to the gym.
No. Yes. Number one, would be The Killers. All These Things I've Done.
That really gets you going.
Love it. There's a part of that song where you just like pedal to the metal, man.
Starts repeating the same thing?
Well, I've got a soul, but I'm not a soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah, right towards the end of that is the culmination.
And then you're just powering through the last mile of that run, but you don't run. He only walks.
It's an aggressive walk.
I don't listen to music when I work out, so.
Oh, my God.
I listen to podcasts when I'm really struggling or just trying to get through that last little bit, I'll mute it and I'm just with my thoughts.
Okay, so that's the random question of the day and the perfect ending to the show. Thanks everyone for watching. Please rate, review, subscribe. That's Zach Carpenter. That's Spencer Holbrook. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. Head over to LettermanRow.com for all your Buckeye needs. And again, stay with us as we transition the website with On3 Sports. And, hopefully we'll see you on our message boards in the very near future. Thanks for watching.